Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. I am Jim Galati. With me, Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of Happy Valley United. Mike, how we doing, sir?
Hey, we're doing great. And I think when the listeners hear this on Monday, hopefully we'll have a couple commits from the big first official visit weekend under the Matt Campbell era. I'm really excited to see what happens. But I know as we're recording right now, we're kind of on alert for some commitments and some big commitments. So I'm excited to talk about that, Jim. We've been kind of all over the place, but now we have a really, you know, big-ass weekend, big weekend for the Matt Campbell era underway, and it seems like there's a ton of good vibes coming out there, which, you know, tells you a lot about this staff and their focus and, you know, they're sticking to their plan, like I've been saying all along. They know who they are, and they're playing to it, and you add – the Penn State logo and what they have here. It's just, it's all coming together in my mind and what I'm seeing from this past weekend. So excited to see everything else that comes out of this weekend. But yeah, I think that we had 26 visitors on campus, which is a ton. I think, you know, obviously six of those guys were uncommitted. Khalil Taylor being the big spotlight. Everybody's wanting to know how that's going to go. So excited to talk about all these guys, especially Khalil Taylor.
Well, yeah, let's get to it. Before we get to this specific player, yeah, first of all, you mentioned, as we're recording on Sunday. So if those of you who are listening on Monday or Tuesday, by then we may actually see some official commits. Like you said, Mike, some good vibes. But before we get to some of the individual players and some scouting reports and some background on them, let's just talk about the schedule a little bit, how this works out. So we all hear, hey, big official visit weekend. How does that work? How does the schedule work for these official visits? I know there's a time frame for it. What is that time frame? How does that work?
Yeah, it's still 48 hours they get on campus with the staff, but a lot of schools started doing, you know, probably a couple years ago, was bringing in these commitments Thursday night and having really no contact with them that starts that 48 hour period. So these families, they could come in, get settled, get acclimated and everything. So the next morning when that clock starts, they hit the ground running, right? And there's a lot of ways to be creative with it. Because with these visits, and you're seeing a lot of posts from what this staff has done, is you want to try to be outside the box and different than, you know, every other school. And you can see that they went paintballing, which I thought was awesome, because paintballing is obviously already a really cool, like, team building type of sport that, you know, I've gone paintballing back in the day with my teams, and it was just, it's a really good thing for team building. And to do that, and it's fun, right? So I thought that was really cool. But you also have to have a lot of the other things, like the academics parts and everything. Now on official visits, a lot of these academics isn't just like hearing a broad spectrum of like what the program is. It's more personalized, because these guys have already heard the surface level stuff. Now with these OVs, you have 26 guys that may want a personalized, like, academic meeting with, like, their potential professor or something like that. And, I mean, you wouldn't believe the lengths that some of these staffs go to meet, you know, the president of the school or maybe the department head of a certain major. But you can imagine just that little that part of the visit is huge. It takes a lot of time and scheduling, and you can only imagine Gabby, who is the recruiting coordinator for on-campus visits. This is probably the most stressful that that position has during the year. I've been through it a ton, and these next couple weeks, you hear it all the time. It is the biggest grind for recruiting staffs, coaches, because you have these huge visits. Plus you have camps, which are huge for your underclassmen, right? Your 28s and your 29s, getting them on campus and getting live evaluations. And so you have a lot going on, plus, you know, everything else going on. We had a great event last week, was the Coaches vs. Cancer golf event at Blue White. They have to do that. We're going to have our Avalon event that June 22nd in New Jersey. So you have all of these things going on, and you want to do everything at a high level. So it just takes a lot of coordination between everybody. But the staffs that, you know, work well together are the staffs going to do the best. And from my experience being around this staff, you know, this staff is very strong together. They work well together. The support staff, the front office, the way that it's built, everything seems like it's working really well based off of everything you're hearing coming out of this weekend. So these weekends, long story short, Jim, are really tough, man, because they're just coming off one of their camps, right? And then it goes straight into making sure that all these flights and all the transportations and everything's set by Thursday night when you lay your head down, because you know you got a full day starting from the first thing in the morning with these visitors all the way to the night, which, you know, usually ends with a dinner when the host will take them after that dinner. They go hang out with the players. And then it's not done for the staff, because now they need to entertain and close the deal with the official visitors' parents and their guests, right? So that's just Friday night. And so you're starting from, you know, first thing in the morning to who knows how late you go. Depends on the type of parent. Some of these parents are night owls. They like to be out, enjoy it. Or some of them, you know, they're good and they want to go back to sleep. But you never know. So then you go to sleep and you got to prepare for Saturday, and Saturday is an all day event. And then after that, it's really kind of the same thing. And then after that, you know, you have your head football coach meetings, and basically the meetings that, you know, you get a feel for, you know, if these 27s are going to be part of this class or not. So it's a full weekend. And then come Monday, you're just gassed, you know, but now it's reset. You don't have time to be gassed, because now you have to get ready for the next weekend or the next week with another camp or camps and another huge official visit weekend. I tell you what, this weekend or this June period, which has been going on like this for a couple of years now, has definitely burned out a ton of people, especially the on-campus recruiting positions, because it's nonstop. And because you have to think, you know, you have the support staff, you have Derek Hoosier, who wants to make sure that this is a great weekend, right? And then you have the position coaches who, you know, a lot goes into them getting some of these guys that are on campus. So there's a lot of pressure in that. And in that pressure, you just want, if I'm a position coach of Khalil Taylor, you know, I'm Coach Warren, I want this kid so bad. I know everybody wants him. We want him. Coach Campbell wants him. The entire alumni base wants him. Okay, so what am I going to do? I'm going to try to make sure this is perfect, working with Gabby, who's the on-campus director. But anything that comes up, like maybe the mom maybe mentioned something about, man, I wish I had some, some decaf coffee in my room or something like that, and they don't, who do you think he's calling? He's calling, you know, Gabby or one of Gabby's interns or one of her assistants to make sure that happens. But times that by 26 visitors, and imagine all the different random texts that are coming in and requests every single minute of the day for about 72 hours. It's nuts. It's nuts. And it gives, because I've been in it, I just respect the people, not just here at Penn State, but just across the board, the people that have to go through this grind. I have the utmost respect for them.
Well, how about calendar for these official visits? When are they allowed to do them? Is it the month of June? Is it multiple weekends? How does that work?
Yeah, so right after Memorial Day weekend, that's a dead period. So there's a couple days of a dead period. It kind of allows the staff to come back off of Memorial Day weekend, get their foot on the ground and basically get prepared. And most staffs are already prepared for this weekend, but or for this week. So it opens up, it's camp season, it's OV season, and unofficial visit season. Because a lot of the times when you have a camp as well, a lot of those younger guys, a top 28, you don't want him just to come camp and throw the ball around and leave. You're going to set a whole unofficial visit itinerary for him. So you're going to schedule, you know, campus tours, academic meetings around camp. So add that onto the plate of the on-campus recruiting, the on-campus recruiting director, which is Gabby. But it's just not Gabby. It's the whole front office and the team, and they got to work together. And it's a lot. So that opens up basically that couple days right after Memorial Day weekend. It starts this period, and then it ends June 21st, which is a Sunday, and then June 22nd is the beginning of the dead period that will go all the way up to Labor Day, and that's when everybody is able to vacation. So it's this whole stretch. It's the next 3 weeks, which is every single day is a grind. I remember when I was doing it, I did it at Marshall with less staff that I've had in the past. And so it was really kind of me and two other people that were helping me kind of do everything, right? And then at Virginia Tech, you know, I had, you know, a bigger staff. It was a little different, but the pressure was the pressure. And it's just nonstop. And I remember after every June period, my brain would be so wired that like a lot of people would take vacation. You get a couple weeks vacation during July or right after this June period. And a lot of people would love to take vacation right after that dead period. So the 22nd, they would start vacation. I like started not doing it because I needed to like just decompress because I couldn't just go like on a vacation with my family and not think football 24/7, settle ups, all the vendors, all the relationship pieces, all the loops that you want to close. Like your mind is just not, it's still going. And then what the NCAA did, which I really appreciated and which I think recruiting staffs appreciate now, is that they took away that period in July that was like a week right before the season, yeah. And they entered camp. And that usually was like a huge elite, like unofficial visit, right? So recruiting staffs would go on vacation and then say you did decompress, but the next thing you're worried about is that big visit in July.
And it just starts all over again.
All right,
Mike, that's it for quarter number one. When we come back, we're going to get to some of the specifics with this weekend visit. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. I'm Jim Galante. He's Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of HVU. Mike, I tell you what. Big recruiting weekend this past weekend. We said we'd get into some of the specifics, but real quick, we mentioned HVU Insider and what's going on with that. I know there's a lot that you're putting together with it. One of the interesting things is you've also joined up, created some partnerships with some great companies like Wallace City Roasters.
Yeah, so Wallace City Roasters, we've been kind of in talks with them for a while, and then we just finally got to the finish line with them. You know, there's a lot of opportunities that are starting to rise with HVU Insider, which is Happy Valley United, obviously. And I think it's just because we've really kind of focused in on, you know, who we are in this landscape of NIL now. And it's really more digital marketing. So that's why, you know, I've talked about this, but why we've gone the route to, you know, create a platform that's engagement, it's recruiting, it's scouting and everything. Everything that comes along with that. So along with that, it was a good time. It was just good timing with Wall City Roosters for them to create a Happy Valley United coffee brand. And I just got my first package the other day, and it was just the beans, right? And it was about, there was a whiteout, there was the linebacker U, there was 86. And then yesterday I got a big package, and it's all, it's all of the other ones, and I posted it on my social media, and then I'm going to give it to some of the staff members to check out. But the packaging is really nice and sharp, good quality. And then also like the flavors, I just had my first one today. It was an espresso. And obviously, when during this recording, I was traveling with my family. So I got to, had to wake up really early, get on the road, and, my wife chose to use the, and they have some great flavors, but she chose to use espresso. And I tried it. I'm like, man, this is really good. And I was ready to roll after a couple sips of that espresso flavor. But, it's a really cool partnership right now. It's a smaller coffee company in the state. If you don't know Elwood City, I think it's a little bit west of Pittsburgh. It's kind of in between Pittsburgh and Youngstown. One of my roommates was from there. That's why I know it really well. But yeah, Elwood City, that's where they make the coffee. And they're all on board with being the official coffee of Happy Valley United. And we're really excited, along with a couple other partners that are going to be coming on board here pretty soon. But really excited to have a legit coffee as one of our partners. So, you know, we'll share with all the listeners that the website that they can go to and sign or get yourself some coffee. I'll be promoting it on all my channels. Happy Valley United will be promoting it on all its channels. It really is. I'm a coffee guy. I'm not a coffee snob by no means. I don't like a Keurig. I like Keurig. Don't get me wrong, but yeah. I like just a classic coffee pot, and just be able to pour it in, not have to wait, you know, a minute for the thing, for the cup, and all that. But I'll be sharing it. But yeah, Jim, it is. I'm really happy with the packaging and everything and what we got going on. So please check it out and buy you a couple beans from Wall City Roasters.
You do have a little bit of extra adrenaline, it seems like, today going for you, Mike.
I mean, my wife, she made it and then poured it in like the Tervis that I have. And then on the drive, I finished that thing. So, so I'm amped up today.
You're wired and ready to go. All right, yeah. Let's get back to this weekend of recruiting. And we mentioned a little bit that besides some prospects, some recruits being there uncommitted, there were many of the already committed recruits there. We talked a little bit about that team building, that kind of thing. But this is also a great chance for that group to get together, is it not?
Yeah, one of the best things having all your – well, getting a lot of commitments, and you go through that wave during the spring at some point that we talked about, and how many ever commitments you get on board – you want them there at the same time on their official visit so they can recruit the other uncommitted top guys. And that's what it looks like. Matt Campbell and their staff went to, they had six of their top uncommitted guys, Khalil Taylor kind of headlining that. They had all their commits here. So it's really good. And then, strategically, if a kid doesn't want that to be the official visit, they'll just turn it into an unofficial visit so they still can come. But yeah, you want everybody there. I think you saw, Will Wood posting the paintball picture, and it's awesome. And it seems like, from all accounts on social media, there's a really good vibe coming out of State College. But to be honest, a lot of these weekends, they should be good weekends. They have to be organized, and and you have to have an elite staff to be able to, you know, spin it. And it seems like we did a great job of that.
Let's talk about some of the individual players. Now, you've mentioned Khalil Taylor multiple times. He's a wide receiver from Pennsylvania, a four-star kid. He was previously committed to the prior regime, opened up his recruiting with the changes, and now it's an opportunity again to bring him back. He's come in for this official visit. How did it go? What could you tell us about Khalil Taylor, what the prospects are of Penn State getting him, and if they do, what are they getting?
Well, so I think we have a really good chance as of right now. As we are recording right now, it's been announced that he's canceled his other two official visits. I believe they were to Nebraska and maybe Alabama. So that's a great sign. Anytime you see that, that means that head coach meeting went well and probably in favor of that school. So in Khalil's and Coach Campbell's and Penn State's case, I think we have a really good chance of landing him by the time that the listeners hear this on Monday. To me, so I've been here, you know, I went through the fall and we actually did a couple of interviews when we were just starting up the HVU Insider platform and got to know the kid a little bit, obviously very close to, you know, Terry Smith and Terry Smith's son, Justin King. So I've always felt like he's wanted to be here. He loves Penn State. And I just think he just did the smart thing when, you know, the coaching change happened and through that transition, you know, that's like, you know, he's a free agent almost. And, you know, everybody comes out, everybody reevaluates and everybody reevaluates what they could do to maybe potentially get him on his roster. So, you know, Colorado did a really good job of recruiting him. But I don't think he really wants to be there. I think he's always wanted to be at Penn State. So that first, I think it was the first or second window of the new year that he was able to come in and meet the staff for the first time, and he was here. And then I think, you know, if you go back and you look at the reports, he had nothing good to say about the staff. So I feel like he was always going to be kind of a Penn Stater, a Penn State kid. But I think what is more surprising to me is how well Coach Moore and this staff is doing with the wide receiver room, which, you know, in the past you've heard rumblings, you know, the fan base really hasn't liked our recruitment there. But I think the fact that we get him on board and then there's, you know, there's some rumors out there that Deshaun, the receiver from the big time four-star receiver from Alabama, is also crystal ball to come here. But Khalil, sticking to him, you're getting an all-around wide receiver. If you look at him right now, he looks physically like he could compete right now. He has that body structure, but he's not just a possession receiver. He's a fast dude. So he's big. He can body people. The 50-50 type of catch, he's going to come down with those. He has a physical presence, big catch readiness to the kid. But he can also win over the top and beat you with speed. So that combination makes him very highly coveted and why it makes sense a lot of schools also want him and why a lot of schools went after him hard when the coaching change happened. But kudos to the staff. If this does end up happening and we get Khalil, I think that's only going to strengthen this first recruiting class for Derek Hoosier and Coach Campbell. And usually when you get a big time kid, especially in state recruit like that, that's been highly coveted and visited other places and he lands at Penn State, that usually attracts other players. Man, I visited Colorado too. That was a great visit. Man, I went to Georgia. That was a great visit too, but he still committed to Happy Valley. Okay. I got to see what's going on with Penn State. So it brings momentum, especially with the kids that are on the fence potentially. So couldn't say better things about Khalil and the kind of kid. He's a Penn State type of kid. When you talk to him, he's confident. He's got a really good demeanor about himself. He's not arrogant, but he's just very confident. And that's what you want out of a skilled player, wide receiver like that. But he also seemed very grounded, very articulate. smart kid. So he fits the mold, I think, what if Coach Campbell is looking for. And I think the fans are going to be happy once they get to know Khalil Taylor as the person, not the player, once he commits.
Well, it's also, you mentioned it, he's a Pennsylvania kid. First of all, the Penn State fans will be happy. I mean, he's got four stars, he's a Pennsylvania kid, and he's a wide receiver. Put that all together and you make the Penn State fans happy. But it's also important to kind of set that precedent in areas that you need to do well as a Penn State coaching staff, places you want to recruit. So anytime you get someone in state, you're starting to establish a pipeline to those areas, right?
Yeah, and in state, like we talked about it when the transition happened, we were talking about, okay, the staff that's going to come in and the support staff, they're going to have to work really well together to make sure that they maintain the relationships and the pipelines that we have in state, because that's important, very critical to the success, the long-term success of the program. But it looks like they kind of did that, you know, seemingly, and everything's pretty smooth. If anything, I think they strengthened relationships, not only in the state, but are, you know, the region where like New Jersey and other regions where we have to be strong. But yeah, it's huge to have kids come out of there. Not only is it big, this is something that I learned just going through the working as a recruiting a department head, is sometimes when you target an in-state kid, and I know we're at the end of the quarter, so I'll talk about this next because it's really interesting to me and what I found and learned.
All right, let's do that right after this break.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform, providing exclusive recruiting intel. The first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. Our show is brought to you by HVU Insider. I'm Jim Galante. He is executive director of Happy Valley United, Mike Villagrana. Mike, when we finished up segment two, we were talking about Khalil Taylor and how important it is to get these in-state recruits.
Yeah, but I'll go to the other end of it. Like, I don't think a lot of people think about is when you take an in-state recruit and they don't succeed at the in-state school. It's just as bad, or it's actually just as bad, or maybe probably worse than not taking an in-state kid. Because that's the conundrum that a lot of coaches run into, is like, okay, this kid's a four-star, he's in-state, I got the donors that are on 247 all the time, and they want to know why we're recruiting this. The kids just might not be that good, or it just might not fit that that scheme, that culture, that school. But it's almost like, as a head coach, when you're sitting in that seat, it's like, man, I got to take this kid. He's in state. He's connected to this the most winningest coach in history in the state of Pennsylvania. You know, you have to keep that relationship strong, so you take him. Okay, knowing he's probably not going to play at that school. I've seen that happen a ton. And it just hurts you at the end. But everything with college football is so short term, right? So you make those decisions because you know you got to win now. You got to win the optics now, so you can get the support from your donor, so you can get these $40 million rosters. It all works together, but it can also, you know, bite you in the butt if you don't do it right. But this staff is doing a phenomenal job of it, from all accounts, from what I see.
Mike, I would think it's important not just to get We've talked about this before. Because a kid is in-state, gets a high star rating, that doesn't mean you have to take him. You've got to make your own judgment. And are these the players that you want? Are they the right players, not just the guys who get stars? So I would think that's part of it. And you're right. I would think if you don't think a four-star kid actually fits your program or is as good as his four stars, you're probably better off not going that direction. You're better off, just biting the bullet and living with it than making a bad decision.
Yeah, but then what if you don't take him? Right now, you don't take him, and say that school produces Division I athletes year in, year out. Okay, well, that head coach, and especially if that coach is an established coach in that region and in the state, you're not going to be able to go back to that school, or you're not going to, and you'll always be able to go to the school unless you handled it very poorly. But there's going to be a lot of questions the next time you recruit one of their kids, and how's it going to play out? And you're just going to be under a ton of scrutiny the next time you go through that school. And it's something that coaches, they say they live in the short term because they know they need to win now on the field and optically, which this staff doesn't really focus in on that much, which is why I think they're going to have a ton of success long term. But you have to consider all those factors, Jim. Like, so then you take
him. It's all part of the decision making.
Yeah. So then you take him and say he's not that fit for you, or you just don't feel he's not that good of a player. That player still is going to he's still going to receive a healthy amount of money, probably opposite of what he's actually worth to that in-state school. But because he's a four-star in-state, you're going to have to pay him like that. So yeah. Now you're being reckless from a business decision when it comes to money, because now you're going to have a kid that that probably isn't going to succeed at this school, eating up some of your allocated money where you may have had it somewhere else. So it is such a huge decision and can really hurt you. But obviously, if you take a kid in state, that's why it's always fascinating to me, like a Penn State or the staple school in that state, when kids go out of state, because that in-state school, to my point, they have to make you succeed. So they're going to make sure that you have all the resources possible to succeed. They're not just going to throw you out and push you out and say, go to the transfer portal, because they know the ramifications that come with that. So they're going to give you all the support possible. You're going to give you all the chances possible to succeed. Rather than going to an out-of-state school, it's really not going to hurt that much, especially if it's like a school across the country. They know they're not going to have to go to that school again year in, year out. So it's an easier decision to let go of a player if they're not in state. That's just my opinion, and I've seen it happen real time. And it's just really interesting when you start. This is the fun stuff with the puzzles that I've been a part of. That's really interesting that maybe a lot of other fans don't see, but it's honestly just like common sense to me.
It's common sense to you because you have to live it. The fans don't see it. And this is why we always enjoy talking to you, Mike. It's like I always say, it's that peek behind the curtain of what all the other ramifications of what's going on. I want to get back to the players who came in this weekend, some interesting names. We've talked quite a bit about Khalil Taylor, the wide receiver. You had mentioned earlier about Deshaun Hall. He's a wide receiver, four-star out of Alabama. He's 6'5". I like me those tall receivers, Mike. What can you tell us, besides he's 6'5", what can you tell us about Deshaun Hall?
So, I mean, just a big-time recruit out of the Southeast, coming out of Alabama, Prattville, Alabama, year in, year out. That school in that area has a plethora of Division I athletes. and everybody's going into that area. So to have him on campus on an official visit, it's one thing to take an unofficial visit, right? Fill it out, maybe check it out. But it's another thing to actually then go back and take an official visit. Deshaun's a huge kid, like you mentioned. I think it speaks to the trend that we're seeing with this staff is they value length at every position, right? Length and size is big with the staff. I think if you go back to the Iowa State rosters, they're big and long, right? They recruit, especially for the bigger positions. We always talk about how they got to project on the D-line and O-line, yeah. But they did a great job projecting and developing, and they had huge, huge rosters. And I think that's what you're going to see here. You're going to see length across the board. I think Coach Franklin and the staff did a pretty good job, but I think they've made a lot of exceptions for guys that maybe were elite in other areas. I don't think you're going to see that as much with the staff, at least what I'm seeing right now. I think they're going to want length unless there's just some absolute elite quality to the player to make up for the lack of length. So I've been saying that, but that's what you're getting with Deshaun. You're getting length. You're kind of getting somewhat what Khalil's bringing, you know, just a big body, but also fast all around, just all around skill set. And that's why he's such a highly coveted guy. He was crystal balled when we were recording this. So that is huge. I don't think anybody, any recruiting site, any fan really kind of saw that coming. That speaks to the staff. It speaks to Coach Moore, who's doing a phenomenal job recruiting these guys and making them feel at home, especially a guy coming from Alabama to Happy Valley. It's nice that he's visiting, in the summer. They can feel a little bit better. But, you know, he still has visits set up to Alabama and Tennessee. So it's going to be interesting to see how this kind of unfolds. I feel better about Khalil, obviously being in state, and you have that relationship piece going way back. Deshaun's kind of newer, and he's from Alabama. But for him to get a crystal ball, that's really promising, and we're going to see how this turns out. If we get him and Khalil on board from this weekend, that's a huge, huge, huge win for the staff, and it's building up to really create a ton of great momentum rolling into the season.
Well, and you mentioned those are both wide receivers. That's to go along with a couple other receivers that are already committed to Penn State that are pretty good.
Yeah, and I think what you're seeing right now too is just the real big need right now to me from a roster allocation standpoint is the wide receiver room. And it's the defensive end room. I think from there, we have to do a really good job, and the staff is doing a really good job evaluating early and getting some of these elite guys on campus. So I think I like our chances of filling those voids where I think, you know, I'm not saying those rooms are bad. I just think compared to all the other positions where we're recruited, I think that's where the need is now. It's almost like when everybody was worried about the offensive line, right? And the next thing you know, we have like four studs on the board. It's the same thing at those positions, right? So the wide receiver position coming out, I think that was a big point for the staff is to make sure that we land these guys going into the offseason or going into the summer.
And Jameer Dean was one of the other receivers who had already committed, but there was some concern that he might be looking at some other schools.
And like, to me, like this is all, you have to go back to the staff and say, man, they are doing such a really good job, because it's obviously not what they're doing is obviously not like cookie cutter visit stuff, because it's making such an impression to them that they're sticking to it. A kid out of Tennessee, Jameer Dean, once he committed, getting a huge offer, right, a Georgia offer. I don't care what you say. That offer is like what an Alabama offer was when Nick Saban was there, to me, because they have the resources, they have the money, they have the head coach, they have all that, right?
It could be the number one program in the country over the last half decade or so.
100%. And the University of Tennessee, like I think I just did a podcast with Adam Talaferro, And I, if you followed it or something or on the message boards, he'll tell you he almost went to Tennessee because the Tennessee visit is powerful. But yeah, so going back to what you said, I thought Jameer Dean was definitely a flight risk once I saw that UJ offer and then he was going to go visit. But I don't know, maybe I'm jumping the gun, but based off of everything you're seeing from him on his social media feeds and everybody reporting, it sounds like Jameer is like almost kind of like a leader in this recruiting class now, and he's recruiting other guys. So that you couldn't be any happier about it.
That's always a good sign when they're recruiting others. All right, there's a couple other names I want to get to, Mike. Let's do that in quarter number four.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. I'm Jim Galante, along with Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of Happy Valley United. This is quarter number four of our show. We're talking about this big official visit weekend this past weekend. We've mentioned the wide receivers, Khalil Taylor, Deshaun Hall, a couple of wide receivers, one from Pennsylvania, one from Alabama. They'd both be great gets. But there's some other names to talk about also, Mike. Let's talk about how about Case Alexander? He's a linebacker prospect from Oklahoma. We met his brother, Cooper Alexander, who was at Iowa State, a transfer to Penn State, came in with that large group. We got a chance to talk to him at one of our events a few weeks ago. Absolutely great kid. Now we're looking at his brother who plays on the other side of the ball. He's a linebacker. What are the Penn State's chances and what kind of player is he?
So Case Alexander is like kind of he's listed at $195, but I think he is going to be a big old school type of middle linebacker. He's going to have that look, but I say that sometimes and I almost like devalue somebody because you think old school middle linebacker, you think just downhill, right?
Right.
And yeah, he can't get sideline to sideline. Now, Case is kind of the all around linebacker that will be able to do it all, but I can see him finding a home at middle linebacker at Mike if we end up landing him. But I think we still have some ways to go because from all reports, Oklahoma is very, very big on him right now. He's got an official visit with them next week. You would love to hear by the time the listeners listen to this on Monday that he's canceled that, you know.
That'd be a best case.
Yeah. But, you know, you have blood, you have family here. You know, you don't want your family going and having to go to, you know, Oklahoma and maybe the dad goes to the game and mom has to go to the other game. You don't want to do that. I mean, your older brother's here. So let's quit making it that hard. It just makes sense, Case. All right. I'm pitching right now to Case. But no, you can only imagine from you meeting Coop. It's a great family. He's just like seems like a blue collar type of kid. He's going to fit in really well here if he chooses to be here. And I hope he does. But I love the kid. That linebacker class is going to be unbelievable. I still say it, Blake Benton. Yeah, he's one of the committed ones, and I know I'm jumping around a little bit. He is a more athletic Brandon Smith, the kid who I've mentioned before, who I was part of the recruitment with him, and same type of like look. Same type of like style play, but he's more athletic than Brandon was coming in. That's nothing against Brandon. Brandon was a freak, but this kid is a freak on the court. He's just coming in his own on the football field, in my opinion. He has a huge, huge ceiling. And what I look is the physical attributes and where this kid could be in 2-3 years after going through a strength and conditioning program. This kid is going to be huge. I'm going to throw out there, all right, that he's going to be one of the studs out of this class, and probably will end up playing early. I don't want to say that because the linebacker room is starting to evolve into, I think, what is going to be an elite room, especially when Tash comes back. And then you have the rest of the guys. But yeah, I really like Blake a ton. But also going back to Case, I hope Case makes the right decision. It only makes sense. It's like me telling Dom, my son, 11-year-old Dominic, like, common sense, man. Like, just use common sense. Was that common sense? Now, if Case goes to Oklahoma, I'd like to have the same conversation. Case, common sense.
Hopefully Cooper's having the same conversation with his brother.
Yeah, my vibe with that family and him is like, they're probably just like, I don't know, they just seem very like intellectual about like this process. Like, I don't think they're gonna get wowed or wooed. I think they're doing their due diligence like they should. But I think at the end of the day, Case will end up being a Lion.
Well, I think there's a couple of things with your brother on this team. It's his brother, Cooper, followed Matt Campbell and his staff from Iowa State to Penn State. That's a big vote of confidence for the coaching staff to go along with the idea of being able to play with your brother. If your parents come in, you know, they could both come in, see both players the same time. So there's a lot of common sense to it. We'll see how that works out. All right, another guy who we're starting to see some crystal balls for him also is Caleb Cooper. He's listed as an athlete out of North Carolina, Mike. Tell us more about him. I think he played safety in high school. Is that the position that we're looking at for him? What can you tell us about Caleb Cooper?
Yeah, so he's projected to be a safety here. He's going to be recruited by Coach Broomfield. He comes from Providence Day in the Charlotte region. If anybody knows about that Charlotte region, it is awesome football. It's good. It's great recruiting. No matter where you're at in the country, you recruit that area, you recruit Charlotte. And Providence Day is one of those stops that you must go to. So it's a really good school. It's really good coaching. It's really good ball. I really like this kid. So he would be playing safety for us. He's listed at 6 foot, 200, 6 foot on a good day, but I like his frame. He is kind of an all around guy. He's smart. And at safety, I think in this defense, those safety positions are going to have to be more of a quarterback for the defenses versus what we've seen in the past. So having a high IQ back there, that safety is going to be really important. And I think we're recruiting to that. But I think at the end of the day, Caleb Cooper, he still has visits scheduled as of right now. Next week, he's supposed to go to Wisconsin. And then after that, he's supposed to go see our old head coach, James Franklin, at Blacksburg the 19th. But I think based on what's trending right now, hopefully by Monday when these listeners hear this, those visits will be canceled and he'll be a Nittany Lion.
I would like to see that. Speaking of our old friend James Franklin down in Blacksburg, there's a linebacker, Tyson Washington from Virginia. He's a linebacker. From what I'm reading, it sounds like a battle between Penn State and Virginia Tech for him, Mike.
Yeah, and you sprinkle in Syracuse in there a little bit too, with Tyson. There's been a lot out there with Tyson. To me, to be honest, I don't have a feel for it. If I had to guess, I'd probably base on the other linebackers that we have on the board right now and that are potentially committing. I would think he's kind of in the back of the priority list. I don't know that at all, but that's just based off of what we're seeing with these crystal balls and I believe the staff has made a priority. I think the other guys are probably just a little bit ahead of Tyson, but if Tyson wanted to jump on board, I think the staff obviously would take him, but I don't feel as great with Tyson as I do the other ones, but he is a good player. So we'll see what happens if he ends up going to Cuse or Virginia Tech on these visits from here. If he does, and we get these commitments from Case, and I think it's just a kind of one of those things where, okay, it just kind of all of the pieces kind of fell right, and then he's just a guy that's going to end up going somewhere else. But that's just my vibe right now. I don't know for a fact, but Tyson is a good player. But I just don't feel, out of all of the guys, he's probably the guy I feel least good about.
Let's talk about, are there any other names of the visitors from this weekend that our listeners should know about?
Clayton Powell. So Clayton Powell, he is a long snapper. Okay. I know people, they want to forget about special teams. All right. It's one of the three core. You have to have a good snapper. So he's coming out of Louisiana, Sam Houston High School. It seems like if you bring a specialist on an official visit and he's uncommitted, you're bringing him on a visit for a reason. And usually those guys are locked up after that visit because that's just how it usually works with the specialist. So that's another name that you're probably going to end up seeing. He's one of the guys that was crystal balled out there too. Other guys, other than that, that's interesting to me. You mentioned Jameer Dean. These are the guys that have taken other visits since committing, which is kind of weird, but you hate to see it when, you know, you're that school and, you know, you feel like, you know, you got engaged by a verbal commitment, right? And then they go take another visit. It's like, oh, well, you weren't really ready to commit to me. You still wanted to kind of, you know, go on a couple other dates with some other women. Okay, cool, whatever, you know. But that's kind of how I always saw it. But it's kind of the name of the game. So you have Samaje Robinson, who was the first commitment and made a big splash to start the 2027 class. And so since, you know, he took OV to UVA, and then I believe has scheduled a Syracuse OV scheduled. And I know South Florida is also on his board. So I think recruiting somebody from Florida, that's the name of the game. You can expect this. I don't think the staff was like shocked that he's taking other visits like that. That's just the name of the game when you're recruiting. When you're recruiting nationally, that's going to happen because your tie and your relationships aren't as strong as in state and regionally. Obviously, that's just common sense. And then Zachary Gleason, who I love, the DB, long DB, athletic, versatile guy. He also took an official visit to West Virginia last week. So that those are kind of the two that. I hope that they don't end up decommitting, but to me, those are two guys that are flight risk. And when I say flight risk, guys that could potentially decommit from us based on all the chatter and not just chatter, what they're actually doing and visiting other schools. But I think the staff seems like they're handling this dynamic well. Some schools, they'll say once you commit, you cannot go on another visit. And that automatically turns off families and the kids sometimes. And so you basically just say, okay, go on your visit, but we're done. That's not always the best way to go about it. And so it seems like I think this staff is making a strategic approach to it and probably very transparent with both parties, just like they've been. And I think that's why they're having success with this class, is because they're very transparent of who and what they want and the type of kid what they want. And so when things come up like this, it makes it easier to talk through it.
All right. That's going to be the final word, Mike. Thank you for all the great information. Thank all of you for tuning in. Make sure you come back next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform, providing exclusive recruiting intel. The first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.